All right, good morning. We're going to start getting started. It's almost like down south saying goodbyes. We're going to start saying our goodbyes, and we'll stay around for a couple more hours before we finally get out the door. We'll start starting, and eventually we might get started. I might have to do some reviewing, especially for myself. Y'all bear with me, man. I got up. It was 2:38 when I come to this morning. And just never could go back out. And I got up and just spent time with the Lord and going over things and catching up on this and where he wanted to go today. Sometimes I got a crooked... Got a crooked arm here. What's that? A crooked arm? Well, that's about where we at. We trying to straighten out this eyesight. That lamp of the body, the light of the body, the eyes. Straighten out the eyes with the heart's perception is really where I was going with this thing, that what the Lord laid on me. That how do we see as the Lord sees, the how he sees you, then how we see others. How we see him reflects what how we're going to have inside of us and then how we're going to perceive other people, regardless of what we may pick up on. That's the thing, and it is with the circumcision of the heart that we're going to perceive others. How is our heart? How is the country southern, the innards? How's the innards? I like innards on a chicken. You know, the livers and the gizzards. Man, that's good eating. You don't like them, Linda? Yeah. A little hot sauce? Whoo-wee. Morbian? Yeah, well, I will. I'll eat them up. Some people don't agree with me. I even like the beef liver. Yeah. We want it young, though. We want a young calf for the beef liver, though. Hadn't been defiled as much. But anyway, defiled, and that's what the Lord has done for us. He's making us, I would say, undefiled. But the thing is, he makes us a new creation. So we've never been defiled as he sees us, as he is. He said that he's become what we are so that we may come by what he is and who he is. And that means he's become the sin of the world so that we can become the righteousness of God. And that's sort of where we're going to run to today. But the recap is the lamp of the body, and the three things was, do you see others the way that God sees you? How does the Lord see you? And how do we see others, and why? So all those things come from who he is, what he's done for us, and all that comes out of us if we understand. I think, Pastor Terry, there was a Wednesday or a Sunday, it might have been Sunday, he was hitting all over that part. And I believe it. I believe it's one of the most pivotal questions that Jesus ever asked man. And it was, who do you say I am? And so through that, that's the epicenter. That's where everything in the belief of our eyesight, the cleanliness of who we are inside of us, all starts taking place by who do we say he is. And that's just where it's at. Because who do you say he is going to portray and it's going to project of your path in your walk. And others are going to see that as well. And so that's what we need to pick up and what we need to see too. I think I started dragging this out, but I didn't. I seen a kitty cat. That's what it was. There was a little, pretty little black and white cat sitting right outside. And then I had to take a picture, so I'm going to show my little girls. Because they love cats. Look at here, Andrea. I know what huh? What? I mean, it is a blessing, but it kind of takes away from some other body else's blessing when they give a handout. I promised Jeff I'd still ask them to help. Okay, that's good. Never forget where we come from. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there. That's a big deal. I want to get depressed on this day for some reason. There's multiple reasons, you know. Some didn't have the best dad. Some had a good dad, but he just didn't act the best sometimes. But again, our perception, it could have been off, and I think I touched on that. Might have been last week or some other time. I think I touched on it. Wednesday night, the Hebrews 12:9 thing of leading up to our dad, how they disciplined us the best they knew how, and here we got our father. You know, do we understand? Do we submit to him and the father of our spirit and have life? So it's Father's Day. Who is your father? Who do you say he is? Kind of lines up. Who's your daddy? Well, that's a good thing. We got to know who our daddy is. Is it your earthly dad or your heavenly father? Well, it's both. But the thing is, we can't let our eyesight be distorted because we're looking unto our earthly father that we don't see, or it distorts who our heavenly father is. Therefore, that right there can make us go back to this parable, or just a saying that what Jesus said in Matthew 6 about the lamp of the body, the light. If that eye has light, whoa, hallelujah. Man, who did that? Charlie, was you on cue right there? Of course you was, brother. You always on time, just like he is. I'll drink to that. So here it is. So the lamp of the body. Let's go ahead and just read that one more time. I miss Jim and PJ sitting there too. So it's over in Matthew 6, which is right in the meat of the Sermon on the Mount that we have in the gospel right there. There's only a couple chapters in the Bible that I've found that have no other letters than red letters. And Matthew 6 is one of them. And I think John 15 is another one. I think seven is really close, but it's got a couple little letters that's not red in it, and it keeps you from saying, hey, it's in the category of all red letters. But that comes at the very last part of it. But he says the lamp of the body in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unclear, we're going to rumba too. We got all kind of cues coming. It's about how my morning's been. But if your eye is unclear, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's the lamp? What's the eye? The eye. Is it a vital part? It's the lamp of the body. It's the light of the body. It is. What they say about the soul? It's the what? The eye is the, help me out, somebody. The window of the soul. I don't think that's biblical, but it kind of is if you go that way, because that's what you're looking down into. You're looking down into the soul, the inner being of who you are. And what is the whole battle about anyway? The Lord come to save your soul. So he says over in Colossians that he's taken us and transferred us in from where? From the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. So that's where we want to go to. We want to be in the light as he is in the light. That's what John says over there. So as we develop this walk, as we get to this part, how much darkness is in you? And so that looks, it looks two different kind of ways, that who I perceive or what I perceive in others around me, it's not because I'm seeing the darkness in them. It's because I'm seeing a reflection from the darkness within inside of me that I portray on others. Now, does that mean that They don't have anything on them. Well, that does mean that they don't have anything in them other than what, because Jesus Christ has dissolved and eradicated what? A little bit of sin or all sin? Has the light taken out all the darkness? Yes, he has. So I always like to look at it like this. It's like the Revolutionary War. Use that, or any kind of war. When it's branched out now it's going to be a little different as it was back in the Revolutionary War, because now we have social media. We have means of being able to get messages across the world or right up the road within seconds, lightning speed, so to say. But back in the Revolutionary War, it was already won. And you still had battles going on for months, and maybe up to a year later, they were still battling because they haven't gotten the news that it's already been won and it's over, and this is the result of it. So with us, what it looks like when we hear the good news, or the other people who have not heard the good news yet, we're still carrying on in that dark dominion because we don't know the good news yet. And even if we do have the good news, then has it translated us from the darkness and into light? Are we allowing the truth of the light to shine in to burn up that darkness or give it light? So what is darkness? It is. Darkness is not just this evil stuff going on. It is, but what it is because it is the absence of light. John says that what? Light has come. Right. Light has come into the world. But it said, now this man has come. We're talking about John the Baptist, but he was not the light of men, but he was there to what? Prepare the ones to witness of the light. But the others would not come because their deeds were dark or evil, and they did not want that darkness that they had residing in them to be exposed. What is the big thing right now? This kind of reminds me, why do we want to stay in the shadows? Why do we want to stay back? Because he says because their deeds were evil and dark, and they didn't want them to be exposed. Well, what's the thing going on now that you see in the news, sort of, about how the big players of the world, what's going on? They're using something called blackmail. They're getting stuff on people, catching them in their sin, in their darkness, and they threaten to expose them, to control them. So now, I don't want that to be exposed. I don't want my people or people around me to know the dark deeds that I do. I don't want it to come to light. So then I'm going to say and do whatever they tell me to do. So that is part of what the Lord has done for us, is that he's exposed that darkness. So should I fear that anymore? No. Listen. It's not because of you that we have this light. And it's not because of you that we will not have this light. See, we think too much of ourselves in that aspect. You got something?
I was going to say, I remember saying, I can't get away with anything. But it's good. It's good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the least little thing, it's not because he's so picky. It's just, it's not him. And it isn't even bad. It's probably pretty good in the world. And it's not even a looking sin, but a thought. It's wonderful, really. Hmm.
He is good.
He's perfecting us.
He is. And see, it's a done deal. It's already a done deal. I had somebody come up to me the other night. They're in VBS. He's like, well, what if I kind of go back to my old ways a little bit, and maybe if I go off the deep edge and lose my temper and Maybe I should, maybe what if I commit murder? What then? Will I go to hell then? I said, look, man, I'm not sitting here wanting to I'm not going to go there. You know what I mean? That's not my job to say. But let me tell you this. Jesus came and took care of all sin. Not because what you did before the cross, but before, during, and anything in the future, Jesus eradicated it. It's done. Because Jesus doesn't operate in a time. He is time. So what he's done now, he did then and forever. Everything. When you say all, it's all. So let's look what it is. Let's go to, First John? I think I touched on that a couple weeks ago. VBS really shook me. And trying to catch back up. But John 1, 7 and 11 through 11. First John. That's where he broke into it. And so I think I touched on it. But I just want to look back in here again, because here it is of saying, who is God? What did he do? And then we're going to go into two. And that's going to be my little segue right here if we go in here. But he said, but then, here's the number five. He said, then this is the message, verse 5, 1 John. This is the message, first chapter. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from... Isn't that good? Yes. All. All still means all. So here's the religious kind of thing comes in that wants to say, well, there still might be something in my life that I need to confess. Well, maybe so, that. But that doesn't mean that it's not already taken care of. It's just like the war. You've not gotten the good news to that compartment or the dungeon that you stuff something down in, or in that place inside of your soul that you may not even have a recollection about, that your soul has taken over and tried to keep you safe because you really don't understand who the Lord is. The soul takes over and tries to do the part of the Lord to protect you, and it shoves it down over there, and it... Compartmentalize. Yeah. Push that thing in there, and it puts it over there, and you really don't even know that you're harboring something. So here's the light. Remember, I went back in. I do know this part, that Proverbs, what it says, that the light of the spirit of a man is like a light unto the Lord, searching the most inner parts of his soul. So if you allow that light to go down and start moving through, he will reveal these things to you. Now is the time to deal with this subject. Whatever it is, now is the time to say, Lord, I need forgiveness for this. I need to forgive that person, or whatever the trauma, whatever the situation might have been in your life. Instead of allowing that to sit in there, because we'll see something on somebody and we'll say, man, I really dislike that person, or I really dislike this part about this person, because what's happening is you're seeing them out of that dark lens that's coming. It's in there. It's the reflection of the light, and it comes back out as dark, because what's happening, it's a mirror. Whatever it is reflecting that darkness that's inside of you, and you're casting it or portraying it over on that other person. So, Lord, why do I feel this way? Why am I seeing this stuff? Well, son or daughter, it's because this happened or this happened, and you've not dealt with it yet. You've not allowed me to come in. So part of the thing that we have a tool that we use that, first of all, soul, I don't need you to protect me. I need you, Lord, my Father, my protector, my provider, my guidance counselor, Holy Spirit, please come, Jesus, with your precious love, eradicate, heal this wound that I'm carrying right now. Shine your light upon this so that I can reveal and get this out of me. And then I just say, there it is. Go. Because that soul who you think you can take care of yourself, so it's like a defense mechanism. So it's going to try to take over. And if I know who the Lord is, then I won't allow myself to take over. I will be comfortable enough to allow the Lord to do his job. Let the light come in. And then when that comes in, so then I start to have that fellowship, one with another and with him, because I understand that what he did on that cross. Now look what it says. He says that him, he said, with all, confess our sin, with all sins. And if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves, then truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's a lot right there. That's a lot. And what happens right here in that moment, I can see, and I know, because I've walked this out, there's avenues in here that what, if we're not very careful, and if we allow the wrong voice to try to come in, to deviate the light and the truth that's trying to work in us, we can make that split off right there. And we say, well, you know, that's why he says, because if you have no sin. So what happens, there's a condemnation that wants to come in on us right there. See, the religious spirit will come in and try to condemn us because of, well, you know, I got sin. Or so, well, I don't have any sin. You know, that can work both ways. It can work both ways. So then we're all like, oh, my goodness, man, now I'm tore all up whichever way I'm going to go here. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't even know what to believe. And then next thing you know, you're walking around and you got this stuff going on that's not been taken care of. And I'm still looking at people in a wrong way because I've got this stuff going on. Because then I'm talking to myself saying, well, you're not holier than thou. Who do you think you are? You know, then you're looking at people. Well, look at the pastor. Who do you think you're? Well, look at this person over here. Well, maybe he's that. So all this stuff starts churning inside of our soul. And we're like, what's what? What are we dealing with here? When all this comes down, I don't want to know what is sin. And I'm going to get to that part too. What is that sin? Why is that such a deal? And why does that come in on top of us? But let's keep going. So we know that we don't want to make him a liar, and because his word is in us. The word must be in us. That truth must be in us. So that's where we get this discipleship. If we don't know the truth, how can we battle off the darkness? How can we get that darkness out of us? How can we allow so that the Lord uses his word, his truth? All right, so here's my soul. What's our soul made out of? I used to battle this right too because when I read over there, he said, love it with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and all thy strength. Love the Lord. And so I was like, well, I think the mind is separate than the soul, because why did he call the mind out and then the soul, right? So I always knew, but then everybody teaches, well, the soul is three parts, the mind, will, and emotions. It's like, okay. Well, the mind part is kind of mind-blowing, but as I study and work in it, it's not the brain, it's the mind, which is the control center, so to say. The way you think, not your will and emotions, because the will part of your soul is to live, period. By any means, that's it. So that's the part. So that's why the greatest lie ever told was, you will not surely die. Well, the soul's will is to what? To live. Now, if it can think, the mind takes over and thinks that it can live over here and it won't die, well, guess what? Wherever your eyes are fixed on, your feet will follow. So if my eyes get off of the light and thinking that I can still live in the dark, then I already got the green light inside of me to say, I can go this way. And so then it's like, whoa, who turned out the light? You don't even know you're in the darkness. You just grab some glasses. Right? See, your soul's already putting glasses on. And that's what's getting you portrayed or your perception off to change the way you think, thinking that I can have life over here. They love the darkness rather than the light. Because why? I don't have to answer to these feelings or these emotions or my mindset if I stay in the darkness, because I'm not exposed. But if I do move over here, then I'm going to have to answer these things. Then I'm going to have to confess these things. Then I'm going to have to say, you know what? So guess what's going to keep me from there? What comes before a fall? A haughty spirit, pride. So then I'm going to be in contention with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be in contention with the Lord. There's that war breaking out again with inside of me, instead of me just saying, hey, you know what? I am a sinner. I do wrong things. But Lord Jesus, what you did on that cross eradicated all my disobedience. All of my dad's disobedience. All of my great-great-grandfather's disobedience. All the way back to Adam. Because it says in the Word, the truth is through one man's disobedience brought death. And through one man's obedience brought life. Wow. So, what is the meaning of repentance? Changing the way you think. Metanoia. My mind. What is my perception of my heart? Have I been circumcised? Has my heart been changed? Have I asked Jesus Christ in? Do I believe that who he is? Now the perception of my heart, it says, as the heart thinks, so a man is. So now if my heart's been changed, if I really truly believe and I say in my heart what it says, that you will be saved by what? If you confess with your mouth and believe what? In your mind, in your heart, then you will be saved. Saved from what? Hell? No, don't go that far. You already missed the main part. What you going to be saved from? Your soul. Your own soulish ways. Because the soul tries to take over and be the protector and the leader. You think you're independent and you can make it on your own. What's the other thing that's pumping that? We just talked about it a few minutes ago. What's pumping that locomotive? What's the fire in that thing? What's the coal in there? Pride. Pride. Pride comes in and says, I can do it on my own. I can continue to go this way. It's okay. But pride, what? Haughty spirit before a fall. You ever heard the old song or a little story about old Chicago number 9? The old number 9 coming down the Chicago line. What happened to it? Y'all never heard that one? My grandpa used to talk about that one. It fell off. It fell off the tracks. So we're going to fall off the tracks. There's only one way, and it's his way. And believe me, he's already taken care of all of it. But see, if we can't see the light, if we can't allow it, because that's what's distorting our perception, our heart, who we believe. So as we go into 2, he says, my little children, I'm writing these things, and I'm going to kind of jump down to I want to get to verse 8 right quick, but I can't leave this first part out because this is right here is establishing. This is what we need to say right here. Soak this up. Let this light and this truth come inside of our soul right here. All right? My little children, who are you? Who's he talking to? He's talking to you, the children of God. Because why? You are his children. Because he did this stuff so he could what? Reconcile and bring you back. Since you are no longer born of a son of man. One of my favorite verses, John 1, Gospel of John 1, 12. That he's made you what? A child of God. Not a child of a man, but a child of God. The power to become children of God. Not born of man, but born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the good part. My goodness, I can't even tell I've been up for 10 hours already. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you do not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. See, it's already taken care of. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, we might not have been brought up that way, because there's a religious spirit. I seen a meme, and it was crazy. Because it says, why do we want to be honored in a world that killed Jesus? And I'm like, wow. What are we want to be honored by the people who took out our Lord and Savior. Do you think that you are actually going to be honored by men? What to come on? And I was like, man, that's some deep stuff, but look how true that is. What did Jesus say? How are we entrapped? If we what? Want the admiration or praise of men. It's a trap in there. I don't know what's going on in my brother Tony Evans' life. I know everybody's pretty much heard the news. But it's captured because of sin in his life. Well, my goodness, right then and right there, I'm going to say that is a daggone lie. Because Jesus took that away already. Eyes are on man. Even my brother's eyes are within instead of looking out because he's seeing in a wrong perception. Because listen, it's done. It's done. Jesus already took care of that. Just, you know, we get in our own self. What did Elijah do? Oh, well, yeah. Listen, it's not about you anyway. There's not a one of us worthy. I'm certainly not worthy to stand up here, my goodness. But it's because of his blood, his righteousness, his namesake, that I'm allowed to stand up here. The same thing with my brother Tony. Hey, cast the first stone. Go right ahead. We have to start using these eyes. Listen. I know the righteous walk by what? Faith, not by sight. I wonder why that is anyway. Because we're going to see darkness. Because we haven't eradicated or allowed that light to completely be. We're not in the fullness of him yet. So guess what? We will always have, maybe just lay bottom of these bifocals right here. These aren't bifocals. These are magnifiers. But how many got bifocals? You know, you're looking down through this bottom little spot right here. And we're trying to look. The Lord's given us this big lens. And we're still trying to look over here when I'm supposed to look through here to see this close up. But I'm using them to look out here. Because I'm using the wrong lens. I'm not changing my prescription. I still got a little darkness in there. But no matter what that darkness might be in there, that's what it says. How great or how gross is that darkness within you if you can, if you're still looking through these bifocal parts, the lens that you're not supposed to be looking for or in or through upon my children. Because when we do that, we pretty much say that Jesus didn't take care of it all. There was still, there's still some unfinished work taking to be taken. Listen, am I going to say, man, everybody's got this. Everybody's going to heaven. There's Jim and PJ. I'm glad you're here. All of us has got it. We're all going to heaven. That's not my place. Is that my job? It is not my job. I am not the... Listen, I've been in the revivals and I've been in these things and people just fall on the floor and just start worshiping the Lord, whatever. You know, they doing business with the Lord. It don't have anything to do with me. It's between you and Him. I read somebody say, hey, don't worry about sin in my life, because when you meet the Lord, He ain't going to ask you about my sin. Who am I to ask you about yours? What you doing? He didn't tell me to judge you. He didn't tell me to condemn you. He told me to do what? Well, let's just read it and find out. Let's keep going. Where was I at? It said the advocate with the Jesus, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but what? Also the whole world. By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word truly has the love of God, and is perfected in Him. By this we know we are in Him. Hallelujah. Whoever says he remains in Him ought to walk as He walked. My goodness. How did He walk? Oh, my goodness. What am I got to do? I got to keep... Know God before Him, no other God. No idols, I'm casting them down. I'm doing all that. Are we on the right path if we even start going through the 1 through 10? Are we even on the right path? No, we're off. We're off. But see, that's the letter. And he said, the letter does what? It kills. He says, what did I tell you? Jesus said, come on, let's just go right here. He said, so brothers, seriously, Randy, I just got started. Hallelujah's in His hands. Brothers, I am no more. Here, listen. But brother, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Yet a new commandment I am writing with you, which holds true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness, even until now. Whoever what? Loves his brother lives in the light, and in him there is no cause for what? Stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has done what? Blinded his eyes. You will not go from anywhere in this Bible, basically, but start off in those Sermons on the Mount. His disciples, his apostles, which the ones who he sent out because they were with him, they spent time with him. And I'm telling you, they're still modern day apostles, because he has sent you out, because you have went through the fire. You have worked inside of yourself. And he says, you know what? You've got a hold of this thing. So I'm going to send you out. And it's not about you. It's about me in you. And you allow your light, my light that's in you, to shine before. Let's close on John 8:12. Every one of y'all should have known this by heart already. You are the... Somebody finish it for me, because I know you know it. Because you better hide it in you. You are the what, Lynn? Light of the world. In what? Whosoever. Does that mean a couple of people or a specific brand name person? A Baptist? Only? Whosoever, what? Shall follow me will not walk in what? But will have the what? The light of life. Hallelujah. Come on. This is not a modern, listen, just like what we just, this is not a modern day teaching. This is what we've heard from the beginning. In the beginning, God did what? Nobody wants to know. Created what? Heaven and earth. In the beginning. And then he said what? The light was, the earth was what? Dark. Void. But what hovered over it? The Spirit of light. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of God. And he said what? Let there be. And nobody turned the light on. No. The rest of it says, and there was light. No more darkness. But there was darkness because there was something that he had to prove, because he had to show you your darkness. That's what the letter's for. And in that darkness, that brings death. But in his light brings life. Just like it says in John 8:12, that you will not walk in darkness anymore, but you will have the light of life. You are the light of the world. You are the light that he has lit up. Not just for you to go out and say, look at me, I'm shining bright. I wore a yellow shirt today. But that light is so that I can take care of the darkness within inside of myself. So that I will have that life. So that I'll have that peace. So that I will have that joy that Jesus talked about. And not just talked about, that he was about. He's about that life. Let's finish it up. Y'all ready? So I stopped there. We'll pick back up. Of how I know it's eradicated because of what he did on that cross. And how I know. Here's that word, this little statement in the Hebrew or Aramaic that it comes across. Eloi, Eloi. You going to hit me again, Randy? Eloi, Eloi. Sabachthani. Lord God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew at that point that the eyes of the Father was not upon him anymore, because he's not looking upon the darkness or the sin, because in him there is no darkness. Therefore, if he can look upon and see darkness, then he's not the light. In him there is no darkness. So he took care of all that stuff, not for his eyesight, but for ours. And he gave it to you. Follow me. Follow me. It's okay if you're going to get it wrong. I already knew you was going to get it wrong. Guess what? You're going to continue to get it wrong until you become in the fullness and the likeness. But guess what you can't do? You cannot do it on your own. If I confess my sins one to another, do I humble myself and say, you know what, sister? Do you know what, honey? I dropped the ball. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with each other their burdens. It's not your job to condemn them and convict them, because that's condemning comes from the enemy, and convictions come from the Spirit of God. not for you to say it on somebody else, but for him to work inside of you so that you're going to want to do something about it. All right? Man, my coffee's done got cold, but I'm burning up. Hallelujah. 10:20, almost. What's 10:20 on the radio stand for? Your location. Location. What's your location this morning? That's pretty good, isn't it? Let's end it on that good note. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you for the life, the light of life, Lord God, that you've given to us. You did not give sparingly, Lord God. You have just lavished it upon us all so that we can just there's an abundance there, Lord. We cannot get enough of you because you never run out. Your light never dims, Lord God. Listen, you've already trimmed up your wicks, Lord. Allow us just to trim up ours right now and just to search our souls and allow your spirit, our spirit, to come and shine and to come as one, Lord, to work out our soulish ways, that whatever we think that we can do on our own, we cast down that lie. We know that we cannot do it on our own, Lord God. We need you. And we need each other, Lord. That's why you've made it a body. And we appreciate that, Lord. I'm grateful for that because, Lord, we need each other. We need the body, Lord. We need everything that you've created for yourself to help us become your greatest creation, which in your sight I know, Lord God, we already there. It's already a done deal because you are the Lord God Almighty. I praise you, Lord, and thank you for this Father's Day because without you, good Lord, there is no Father. We praise you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody tell you they love you today? They just did.